You're watching Tim Topham TV, the piano teaching podcast, and this is episode 63. G'day everyone, and welcome back to the Tim Topham TV piano teaching podcast, where today we're going to be chatting to the winner of my four-week challenge in the Inner Circle. His name is Colin, and he's a fantastic teacher who you're going to get to meet in this interview. And we're going to be talking not just about the experience that he had in the challenge, but also giving him a chance to ask me a whole lot of questions that he had about teaching. And so we're going to learn a lot by this. I love turning the tables on my own podcast and having people ask me questions. And it's something that I'm really interested of doing more in because it was great fun. And I know that everyone is going to get lots of value out of this, regardless of whether you're in the Inner Circle membership or not. Before we dive in today, I would like to thank today's sponsor, and that is the Make More, Teach Less online summer camp training program by Jennifer Fox. I mentioned in the last episode that I'm promoting this at this time of the year for those people who are in the Southern Hemisphere, particularly around Australia and perhaps in South Africa. I know I've got some people over there, or in parts of the world where you could run summer camps over the December and January period. Jennifer's course takes you through the process of running your first summer camp from start to finish, literally logistics, scheduling, marketing, activities, everything that you need to know. And I really like her do's and don'ts section, which will help you avoid making mistakes, which are so easy to make when you first run one of these camps. And I know one of them, I'm pretty sure, is don't start too big. Start small and make a real effort and have a really good start with a small group of people. It's a great way to build community in your studio, and it's a great way to increase and continue your income through what can be a very dry period. Her course comes with 9 video modules, which you can follow at your own pace, and all the handouts, downloads, bonuses, etc. So to find out more and actually grab some summer camp lesson plans, you can head to timtopham.com/summer-camp. So that's summer-camp. Okay, so let's get into our interview today with Colin Young. As I say, he's been a fantastic member of our community, sharing a lot of ideas and using the forums to help grow his own studio. And the growth in the last four-week challenge, which we held a few months ago, was phenomenal and saw him increase his studio numbers quite substantially. So you're going to find out how the impact that all of that had. And if you're keen on membership after hearing this interview, then I would love to offer all my podcast viewers and listeners $100 off an annual membership, which lasts for as long as you're a member. To find out how to get that membership and how to find the code, just head to the show notes page for today's episode, and that's timtopham.com/episode-63. Here's the interview with Colin. Hope you enjoy it. All right, Colin, welcome to the podcast today. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Tim. I'm happy to be here.
And I know that we said just before we started recording, you said that actually you weren't 100% sure about whether you wanted to do this before we went live. So I'm really glad you have decided to do that. Because I know that it's, you know, you've probably listened to a few different episodes and you're probably wondering why on earth you're on here and up there with some of these people that I've been interviewing. But of course, you're the winner of our first four-week challenge that we had in the Inner Circle. So I want to talk about that a little bit later on. But before we do that, can you give us a little bit of background about how you came into piano teaching firstly?
Yeah, I mean, it's the strangest thing. I probably started playing piano a number of years ago. I think it was about 6, roughly. So 30-something years. I'm on the right side of 40. So, and then I started playing percussion later on when I was about 14. I ended up studying at the academy in Glasgow nearby, and I then ended up taking a bit of a break. I think it seems to be quite a common story the more I read about these things, but I decided I wanted to get back into music again, and piano is where I really went because my sister-in-law kind of pushed me into a local operatic group, which made me do some rehearsal piano playing for the chorus. Decided I was really enjoying it and got back into it. As I was playing, I was thinking I really enjoy being part of music as a whole. You know, it's not just about performing and helping with rehearsals. I decided I wanted to go down the sort of teaching route, because when I was really young, I did some teaching. I was maybe about 17, just before I left school, and I thoroughly enjoyed it back then. And I just decided once the performance side of things died down a wee bit, I was going to start teaching and, you know, pass on some stuff and get the kids involved in music if I could. Next thing I knew, somebody phoned me and said, have you started teaching yet? And I said, no. And they said, well, I've got somebody for you. Okay. So that was the one pupil that I had. And it's just gone crazy since that. You know, after that, I ended up joining the community, and it's been great since. So.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, and we better explain to people, because there's going to be people listening or watching all around the world who might not have heard your accent before. You better tell us where you're from. I should have asked you straight up.
I stay in a sunny seaside town called Largs, which is in Scotland, and the United Kingdom, if you want. It's certainly not part of Europe anymore, that's for sure. But,
No. Let's not go talking about that. It's really, I have yet to interview a Scotsman, so it's great to have you. Great to have that accent. I love it. It's really good.
If I'm talking too fast, just tell me to slow down a bit.
No. I can't understand you anyway, so it doesn't matter what speed you talk. And just tell us quickly about your family as well. You've got a couple of kids, have you?
Yeah, I've got two kids. So I've got married as well, and I've got two kids. One's just turned 15 a couple of weeks ago. He has nothing to do with music at all. And I've got a wee girl who's just turned 7, and she loves music. It's a struggle sometimes to get some practice done or to get lessons done, because she's always peeking through the window and everyone coming into the room and stuff. Yeah. And starts playing the drums, and she loves it. It's great.
And she plays drums?
Well, I don't have a drum kit as such, but I've got, I mean, I can show you later, but I've got like congas and bongos and a whole bunch of percussion equipment lying all over the place in my extremely untidy studio. So she comes in and plays all the time, and she plays a bit of piano. She plays viola herself as well, actually. So
does she have lessons in any particular instrument?
I tried teaching her piano, which was just didn't work very well. You know, that way, very short attention span, especially when it's her dad that's teaching her. But she does get viola lessons, which she seems to thoroughly enjoy.
Perfect. That's great. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay, so let's just talk about the Inner Circle and your membership. What made you, was there one particular thing that made you go, oh, I need a bit more help here, or oh, I heard about that and that was pretty cool? What made you decide to join? Can you remember?
Well, it was one of those things. I mean, like anybody else, I'm sure they've been involved in different hobbies and such like, and seen membership sites all over the internet for each and everything. And I've always been a bit skeptical about the whole membership thing. Is, you know, I keep on thinking, oh, I can do this myself, you know, but I've kind of taken this a bit more seriously than any other sort of fly-by-night hobby that I've ever had, you know, because obviously I've got a lot of background in it. And I think it was just, I had started teaching that one pupil, and it was just, it was the same old story that you see on the website all the time, and you talk about it all the time, how he was just coming in, he had a couple of pieces in his book to do, we did that, I told him that it wasn't quite right, this is how to fix this, that, and the next thing, and then he went away with a wee note, and he came back next week, and I was just thinking, oh, this is dull, and it's not actually what I want to do, it's not how I want to teach, there must be better ways. So I started having a nosing about the internet and found yourself. I listened to, was it Amy Chaplin's podcast, the one about all the marketing and...
Oh, the webinar we did,
Webinar, and I thought, this is interesting. And then, of course, you had your offer at the end, and I thought, do you know what, I'm just going to jump on this, take a bit of a leap of faith, see how it goes, and the rest is history, I suppose. It's been good so far. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you've been one of the people in there that has just been so involved in everything. Like, you are asking so many questions, you're responding to other people, you obviously did this challenge that we'll talk about in a sec, and I think that's you know, partly the reason why you've got a lot out of it and you've had a lot of success is that you've put a lot into it as well. And so I wanted to thank you for the way that you've committed to it and joined and helped everyone else too. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that the four-week challenge thing, I mean, the forums and all the rest of it are great, but the four-week challenge was just... it turned things around completely for me. You know, I'd already started reading, as I said, listening to your podcast, getting some fresh ideas, and listening to some of the people in the community who I've got such a huge amount of experience and knowledge behind them that, as I said, it just changed the way I looked at things, you know. So it's been great. Yeah, the 4-week challenge was brilliant.
So let's talk a little bit about it. Can you explain to us? I mean, I could obviously talk about it, but what's from your perspective as someone that was involved for the first time? What was it all about? Could you explain it quickly to people that are listening who have no idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the 4-week challenge, I suppose, set up by yourself, it's a great way to set yourself specific goals to approach. One of the big things for me was that when you're overwhelmed with information about, you know, the million and one things that you could possibly do to within 30-minute lessons, you know, to try and enhance your teaching, it's really difficult to focus because there are loads, so many great ideas out there. So the 4-week challenge, just, you know, everybody was asked to make very specific goals based around different areas of teaching and, well, sort of health, self-improvement and that sort of thing. And it helped me to decide, well, here are 6 or 7 goals, whatever it was, to solely target on for the next 4 weeks. It forced me to push everything else to the side and just go on with the work and do that. And it was so beneficial. It was really good. It's great.
That's brilliant. And look, I joined in as well and got a whole lot of stuff done that I wouldn't have otherwise. The things that I don't know about you, but I just they were on my to-do list and they'd been there for ages. But I just hadn't committed a time to do them and a date to do them by. And so they kind of never get done. And I ended up finishing a whole lot of things too, which was really productive. What was the if you could summarize it down to one thing, what was the biggest outcome for you in your teaching, do you think, from completing the challenge?
Oh, put it down to one thing is probably quite difficult. when it comes to the marketing side of things, I think that's probably where it helped the most. It's where I realized that that there's so much to do there, and that was my strongest, well, that's where I got the biggest outcome from. For anybody who doesn't know, I mean, I only had the one pupil when I started with the Inner Circle. I've now got, well, I had 9 at the end of the 4-week challenge. It was a huge jump, and I've now got another one as well, and a waiting list because I can't, you know, because I work a proper job, I can't which is a total inconvenience, but anyway, I can't take on any more just now until I get my head fully around exactly what I'm doing with my teaching. So yeah, that was it, and it all came about through sort of doing some work on Facebook, and yeah, so that was the biggest thing for me, getting my name out there a wee bit and managing to get on top of any local competition as well. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there much competition in your particular area?
Don't think it's particularly fierce, but you know, that way, the more people I talk to, the more people I realize I actually teach piano, but I never knew about any of them. And the only way I knew about the one that I've seen is through doing a search on Google for local piano teachers. There's only one in Largs, according to Google, or there was, but now there's two. But when I speak to other people, you know, they keep on talking about, oh, I used to go to such and such around the corner from you, and I used to go to such and such, and I'm like, who are these people?
You know, and where are they? You can't, probably not online or anything.
No, I'm delighted about that.
Yeah, well, look, I was delighted too to see someone go from 1 student to 9 with a waiting list. I mean, it just blew my mind. And I know that that first webinar that you checked out was Amy's webinar on marketing, and it obviously just got the juices flowing, got you thinking, and you've gone ahead and tried a whole lot of different stuff. So obviously you're going to be at a bit of a crossroads soon potentially. With regard to your full-time work and the piano teaching. So look, I think this is a good time. Why don't we flick things around a little bit? I'd love actually to give you the chance to ask me some questions. I'm always asking questions. So your turn to ask me some questions. Have you got some questions about your teaching, your studio, your business, students that I could potentially help you with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few bits and pieces, and that was another good thing about the 4-week challenge as well. It's, although I thought I had a whole bunch of things that I wanted to do. It wasn't until I actually focused on specific areas when I started to realize there was more important things and more, you know, that would help develop the studio more. But I've got hundreds of questions, but I'll just ask you a few if that's
actually, right. Just before we start, too, you've made me think about another question for you. Can you remember a couple of your other goals, too? Because I know, so for people watching, we split it into pedagogy goals, so teaching goals, technology goals, business goals, and health, life, general health, fitness, and that kind of thing goals. So there were plenty of people who were finally, you know, committing to going for regular walks or swimming or cycling or getting a gym membership or cutting back on bad foods or whatever it was. And there was obviously people using technology and things like that. Can you remember a couple of your goals?
Yes. One of them was to get more involved on with online work. And as I said earlier, I think that was one of the biggest turnaround points for me. I have a website, which is immature, I think, is the best way to describe it at the moment. I'm still working on that. But that was it, really. Didn't have a YouTube channel. You know, I didn't even think about looking at Vimeo for videos. I don't think I had a... Oh, no, I did have a Facebook page, but it was primarily sort of focused around performance stuff, you know, just publishing pictures of events that I'd been involved in. So one of the goals for me was to try and start to turn the technology around to be slightly more teaching focused. And that's, you know, as I said, there was a big achievement in that area. In fact, the whole reason that everybody can see me is because I ended up buying a webcam because of one of these.
Because of the challenge.
Exactly, yeah. So I ended up getting one of the Logitech cameras. And that was one of the things. I had other bits and pieces that I wanted to do. I want to set an exam at the end of the year, so it kind of made me focus on some practice for myself. I also wanted to look into other methodologies, and I ended up having a wee look at some Dalcrozy stuff, which I've started putting into lessons.
Oh, brilliant.
The kids love that stuff. It's it just makes that, it's almost as if half an hour is just not long enough. Okay, well, I did other things as well. I started going to the gym a wee bit more, which was one of the health-based things. I tried to cut down on chocolate, which was okay for the 4 weeks, but...
not so much now.
Not so much now. I've got water here because I thought it would be unfair of me to drink wine since you're at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Over there.
I've just had a look back through my podcast too. For those who are interested, you mentioned Dalcrozy Eurythmics, which is kind of movement and how that can be used in lessons. And that's podcast episode number 28, if anyone's interested in finding out more about that. No, that's brilliant. That's something you had a goal about wine as well, I think, which kind of shocked everyone because, we all couldn't believe that someone could stop drinking wine. But then you're like, no, I'm not stopping wine.
No, just cutting back, just down to four bottles a day now. I'm okay.
It's what you do up in Scotland, right?
Quite a lot of the time, man.
Oh, dear. I was actually, I don't think you know, I taught at Gordonston School in Scotland for probably one a semester, I think. Do you know Gordonston?
No, I was just going to say, where's that?
Oh, okay, near, I flew from Glasgow. It's near Aberdeen on that coast.
Right.
And it was amazing. It's a school that was all about, it was when I was doing a whole lot of outdoor education. So they were what they call a round square school, which sounds crazy, but it's this group of really schools really focused on outdoor and service and that kind of stuff. So there you go. I've explored a bit that part of your country. All right, let's get back to the questions. Fire away. What can I help you with?
So the first thing I wanted to say, and I've mentioned it already, is my website. As I said, it's quite immature. It's just really there at the moment just to be... you know, to have a presence, if you like. I don't necessarily know that I've had much contact through there. I do have one person on my waiting list that contacted me through having the website and then putting that on Google Business. And they managed to get in touch with me that way. But it's just now there's not a lot of blog posts on it. There's not a lot of pictures on it, you know, and I think I just need to, you know, get some direction when it comes to the website. You know?
Cool. So look, I think you're actually next on my list of website critiques. Each month in the forums, as you know, but to let everyone know, I give a website critique. So I actually film myself using someone's website and give you ideas. Not being a website master, but someone that's been involved in it for a long time. And I think the thing I have to tell you and everyone about websites is that they're continually evolving, and don't give yourself a hard time. The fact is you've got something up there with your contact details and information about you, you know, that you're a step ahead of many, many teachers. So, you know, good on you for doing that. And it can only get better as you refine things. So I'll definitely be checking it out this end of this month and give you some feedback on that. But I think, you're asking about blogs. And so I guess my question would be, having a blog or regular updates on a website is brilliant because people can go there and they'll see that there's new information coming up all the time. But the question you've probably need to ask yourself is, who's the audience for the blog? So would you be writing articles for parents of students? Would you be writing for other teachers to give them some ideas of performance things you've been doing, or I don't know what it is? Have you thought about who you might be writing for?
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't want to go down the line of speaking to other teachers, if you like. So the likes of stuff that you do yourself, you know, is great for where I am. Mm. But I think I more want to look at having information for students, potentially people who want to start playing the piano or have been playing for a while. Maybe you never know where you can pick things up. I think they would be my primary focus, potentially some hints and tips, because one of the things I've noticed over the last few months of teaching is the importance of the sort of parental guidance and help at home, because even if they can't play, it doesn't matter if they can't play, the level that some people are starting at, There's it's impossible to not pick up, you know, some of the earlier method stuff. So I think I quite like some of that stuff as well, because some positive reinforcement things, you know, things like that to help the kids along.
Yeah, I'd think about questions that you get asked by parents who might want to have lessons with you. You know, when they ring you up or email you, they might ask, I don't know, you know, what piano do I need for my student, or what if my student's already been learning for 3 years? What if she only plays pop music? Maybe some of these questions, perhaps you could write articles that answer those questions for parents. Mm-hmm. That could be a good kind of focus potentially. And I think, you know, coming up with articles, one of the best ways I come up with articles is just to go by what people ask me, the questions I get asked either in person or by email. And just writing them, because if one person's asking them, chances are someone else will be. And just capturing them. So I, even last night, and as part of the last 4-week challenge, I committed to not using my phone in the bedroom, but it didn't. It hasn't lasted, I'm afraid. And so thanks to Joyce, who did the productivity webinar that's on the site, I use an app called Asana. And just last night, I was doing some reading, and I wrote down a new blog post that I want to write about. It was an education book, but it gave me the idea of writing 8 things to look for in today's piano studio or a modern piano studio, something like that. And so I just have this huge list of things. Anytime an idea comes to me, it could be any time of the day, just write it down. And so I'd encourage you to do the same thing. And I think the more you start reading and being aware of those kind of questions that you're asked and the other blogs that you read too, you'll get plenty of ideas coming through. And you might not hit your audience first time, by the way. You might, you know, I used to write things for students when I first started schools. I used to write about my own performances. So, it has refined over time. It's kind of, you know, narrowed in focus. Hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. In fact, if you want, I've got a list of, I keep a list of all of this on a Google Doc. I could pop it up in the forums for you if you want, and other people could share from it too. I'll
Yes,
do
that's a
that.
good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Cheers.
All right. Question two. You got anything else?
Question two. So one of the things I'd like to do, and I think it's good for the kids, and it's a thing that I love the sound of, is recitals. I think it's a great opportunity, maybe especially from the early stages or early-ish stages, to get involved in some sort of performance, even if it's to tiny audiences of half a dozen or 20 or 30, just anything, just to get people's sort of performance juices flowing. This is
Totally.
definitely something that you have to just get used to. It's one of those things. Well, if you want to perform, it's just something you have to get used to, and I'd like to do it. However, the flip side of that is, currently with so 9 or 10 students, I don't know if that would be enough to have a recital, or if I did, could you call it a recital if it was only 20 minutes long, and what sort of stages do you get your students involved, if they're still in book one, for argument's sake, are they ready to do a recital? I don't know. It's an unknown thing to me at the moment. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the answer is really easy. I would say yes, go for it. I do recitals for my students, absolutely, and I've done small ones and I've done big ones. So, I think nine students is great. And let's say three of them can't make it. Even if you had six and they each brought two parents, you've got an audience of 12. And I think that's totally fine. It's not about the size or the quality of music, really. It's just about the experience. And getting people together. And I think you've got a great advantage in a small group because you could potentially say that you could make it a real little community event where people, everyone brings some food. And afterwards, the kids can all muck around on the piano and eat some food, and the parents could have a glass of wine afterwards or something like that. I think it's almost you're in a good spot. I'd really enjoy it while it is small, that you could have this great community feel. And kids can play music of any level. My only kind of thought with that is if they are playing something that's, a little five note melody, I'd encourage you to play along with them, like do a duet with them. And maybe get them to play a couple of pieces because they are so short.
I know that's good. Thanks, because I do the method I use just now is the Piano Pronto stuff, and it's got loads of jets, and I do that with them all the time. I think they thoroughly enjoy it when I make mistakes.
Oh yeah. Completely.
And I think I don't know if I miss half of what they're playing half the time because I'm so focused on trying to get what I'm doing right. But it's a great thing, and you see them change over time, because the first time you do a duet with a student who's new, it's mind-boggling to them, and then they begin to grow to like it, and it just makes their tunes, as you said, if it is just a five note melody or three or two or whatever stage they're at, then it just brings music to life for them a wee bit. So
Absolutely.
yeah
Yeah.
yeah
And you can make those accompaniments are often they're pretty straightforward, but you can make them so musical, just not by adding necessarily anything, just by the way you play them and the emotion and the passion that you put into them, even if it's really, really simple, the kids love it. And the parents
Yeah.
just love seeing their child play. So I'd definitely start doing recitals. Yeah, worth every minute.
That's good. I have to take a note of that 2 seconds.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. So I should have muted my microphone. I apologize.
Sorry, as long as I don't catch a cold over the mic,
You get an Australian
I'm
cold, you don't want one of
fine. Killers.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think another thing for me, well, I'm going to flip it around. I only had four questions for you. I'm going to ask one first that's sticking in a sort of teaching thing. As I said, I use Piano Pronto. I think it's great. I thoroughly enjoy it. The written work is short and snappy for the kids, so they're not getting dragged into huge amounts of theory at the early stages, and they seem to quite enjoy it sometimes, strangely. And but As I read around, I start to see more methods that I quite like the look of. Like one of the examples was My First Piano Adventure books. I quite like the look of them, and I haven't used them. Now, if you were to find a new method, what would your approach be? Would you suggest just buying the book, having a look at it yourself, see how you got on, or would you just throw it at one of the students and see how they enjoy it and go from there? what's your kind of approach?
That's a great question. And this actually happened just this year. So I tended to use two different methods, either Piano Adventures or... For younger or for older kids, Piano Pronto, like you're using. And then I came across at the conference in America, Piano Safari. And I'd sort of experienced, I'd heard about it. I hadn't really dived into it. And then I went to a presentation about it and I thought, wow, this is fantastic for younger kids. It's what I think is the best method now for me anyway, because of the way it approaches improvisation. It includes a lot of rote exercises, which I think are great. And the technique, like it relates the movement of technique to animals, which is just great because kids get it. But that doesn't answer your question. The question was more, you know, how do I approach a new one? I tend to explore it myself, so I'll actually play through it. I'll watch any videos that are online about it. I'll read about it as much as I can. But ultimately, you'll never know whether it's going to work until you try it with a kid. So you have to, I'd just say, you test it out with one student. And in actual fact, I'd already started, the student that I tried Piano Safari with this year, I'd actually started on a different method, hadn't got very far into it. And I actually said to the parents, look, I've just found out about this new method. I think it's going to suit Josh, my student, better. Do you mind if we try it out? And so we flipped across to it, and they were more than happy to do that. The other thing this method has, and I'm not affiliate for it. I don't make any money by mentioning it, but I will say that one of the things I think that's really hard about the early beginning methods is if there is no reference online for parents, it can be really hard to know how to help their child practice. And one of the things that the Piano Safari guys have done is put videos up for how to actually practice a lot of their music, so parents can look at it or students can look at it. That's one of those things that I've judged methods by. I think just try it out. And if it's a new student, you don't need to worry about telling the parents. You just go with it. They're not going to know whether it's the usual method that you use. If you want to try it out with someone else, you want to flip them over to it, then I'd just have a conversation with the parents. But it's so good to keep exploring new ideas. It's great that you're asking these questions. It's great that you're looking at them all. And I wouldn't be surprised if I'll keep looking around. If something better comes along, something new, I'll definitely check it out.
That's a good thing that there's always new stuff appearing. It's funny to see, actually. I remember when I was a kid, I used John Thompson's.
So did I.
they're still on the shelf to this day.
It is amazing that they're still there. Well, good on him or whoever's collecting his royalties. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I was going to say something else as well. Oh yeah, I'd always encourage to supplement methods with other things, as I'm sure you do already, given what I've heard of you, talk about in the forums. But you know, throwing in some rote pieces if the method doesn't include it, which just means, you know, helping kids learn something by not having to read the music, or doing some improvising, or throwing in the odd bit of sheet music from somewhere or other. You know, I think it's all great. Really good to do, rather than stick. Unfortunately, I know there are some teachers who stick to a method book. When they finish that method book, they start method 1B and then they go to method 2 and then 3 and 4. And then when they finish it, they don't really know what to do. But I'd just use it as a base.
No, that's great. Thanks. That's
does that help?
One of the yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things that I don't spend any time on just now is improvisation. And I'm so keen to get it in there because it's a weak spot of mine. I put music in front of me, I'm fine, take the music away and I'm a trembling wreck. It'd be good to start teaching it to help myself get more comfortable with it, you know.
Yeah, Paul's been putting up some good resources in the forums. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check them out. Really good. Here's some really basic ideas, but just great ones to get started with. So I'd explore them. If you're not sure where they are, let me know. I'll send you a link to them.
All right, brilliant. Thanks.
I reckon I've got time for one more.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this won't be too in-depth, but so this is more from my perspective. As I mentioned earlier, there's only so many students I can take on, you know, before I start interfering with my work, you know, and obviously my work's the one that pays the mortgage and all the rest of it. So it's a very awkward point where you get to that stage where do you want to flip over or do you want to just continue doing this, you know, and working 80, 90 hour weeks. I don't know if I'm that keen on it. I enjoy teaching, you know, but I don't know if I enjoy spending that amount of time in front of, you know, either a computer keyboard or a piano keyboard. So a thing I'd like to look into a wee bit more is, you know, looking at sort of passive income. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts or approaches on, you know, a good place to start with getting things out there that you can just sit and let tick away in the background. Not obviously looking for a, you know, to, you know, six-figure income and all that, but, you know, it's just something that can help me push towards that sort of music career, you know.
So just going back a step, what is your current work outside of the piano?
I work in Barclays.
In the bank.
I don't really work in the finance side, I work in the IT side of it.
Okay. So you've got some background in tech.
Yes, yeah. I'm not afraid of it, and when it comes to using it, I'm afraid of it because everybody who knows me thinks I know how to fix every single thing in a computer.
Yeah, no, and I totally understand. I reckon this is a great question, and I know a lot of people are going to relate to it. So it's really important, and I guess the other question is full time teaching or a full time music career a goal? Could you see yourself doing that?
I would certainly like to. I've got this strange thing. I quite like a bit of job security. Going self-employed is something that I'm reasonably nervous about. I don't necessarily know if I do have any more or less security working for somebody like Barclays or not. But what I feel quite comfortable with just now is that if there was a chop and they decided to get rid of, you know, a whole bunch of redundancies, and if I was on that list, then at least I'm already going with, you know, with the music, and I've got something I can fall back on. Should I not be able to get another job, you know, in that line? So I think that's my current position, where I'd like to know that
if you were made redundant,
that I've got something reasonably chunky to fall back on, you know, and I could just slip into that.
And it could then grow, hopefully. So I think it's really sensible you're looking at or considering ways to potentially make some income without more hours. And I think many music teachers could benefit from thinking the same way. So I think, you know, that's right on the money. Because ultimately, you know, if we're always paid for the hours that we work, we're just going to be working more and more hours to make that money. So if you can leverage it somehow online, I think it's great. What I would suggest you potentially do, the other people, and there's quite a few of the Inner Circle members sell online either courses or ebooks about music. And I often tell the story of Tracy Selly, who's one of the members and who I've spoken about before at conferences, who just said to herself, look, I'm a piano teacher. I love what I do, but I've just had to move. Her husband moved to a different state and she had to restart from the beginning. She said, what can I do? And she thought, you know what, I'm going to interview some people online about teaching and record it, and I'm going to package it up and sell it as a training. And she did that and was really successful from it. And she did, I think she's on to about three or four of these packages of online training webinars, they are, she calls them. which is exactly what they are, on particular topics. So having an actual topic, recording some interviews in the case of this, and then packaging them together and selling them online. And she had no, she'd never done it before, and she had no technical knowledge about it, and she just went and gave it a shot. And I love using her as an example when I talk about entrepreneurship in music, because it's just so, it's just something that people can do these days with
inspirational.
Yeah, it's and it's really doable. Of course, the biggest question is what would you write? What would you sell? And that's probably a bigger question than we can answer now. But I'd go back to trying to think about. And it doesn't necessarily for you. It might be something to do with. With banking, finance, IT, or something like that. I don't know. Just trying to find that question, the questions that people have, the need they have to for information, and whether you could solve that with either some courses that you present or some written material. I think that's probably where I'd get you to start thinking. And if you've got any questions, then Let's start talking about it in the forums, and we can link Tracy and some of the other people into the discussion, because I know they'd be more than happy to help you out with it.
Yeah, no, that's great. What's Tracy's surname?
Selle, S-E-L-L-E.
Brilliant. Yep.
And I know she's more than happy to help out, and I know she's more than happy for us to mention her and her music, her webinars. I'm sure if you just Googled them, I haven't got the link to it, but we'll pop them in the show notes anyway for anyone that's interested. They're great teaching resources. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, thanks.
No worries. All right. Well, look, I think we probably better wrap it up. I hope that's been useful for you. It's
definitely has been great. Thanks.
We've been able to solve, so I'll start answering some questions. But thankfully, you know, you've got a great resource in the community. So hopefully you'll be able to jump in there and we can keep the conversation going. It'll be great, good fun. So look, I think let's summarize. I saw you taking some notes there, which is brilliant. Have you got a couple of action steps that you're going to try and take in the next few days, do you think, after our talk?
Well, I need to get my finger out, because I've not put my goals down for the next 4-week challenge. That was very deliberate that I haven't done it yet, and I know it starts tomorrow. It doesn't leave me much time, but I wanted to have this conversation, you know, get some questions answered and speak to you to get some ideas. So yes, I do have some stuff to do. Definitely, I don't know if a recital thing will happen just now, but I'm definitely interested in looking at, you know, getting a more complete set of work for you know, the students to work with, including the rote stuff and the improvisation stuff that you mentioned, and trying to bring in more methods and do some more investigation into passive types of income and website development. That's going to be my focus for this challenge anyway. You know, and maybe not huge amounts of work on the website, but just something to make it a bit more attractive.
Yeah. Yep. Brilliant. And I can also remind me. I'll send you some links, and we'll share them with others, to some other podcasts and blogs that you might like in regard to that kind of passive income online area too. There's some great resources out there, which has helped me a lot with what I'm doing too. So yeah, chuck up a forum post and I'll respond to that for you. All right, that's brilliant. Well, if people are interested in lessons with you, and they happen to be in Largs, Scotland, where do they go to find your studio? Where do they find you online?
I've got the website. It's just colinyoung.scot. It's just S-C-O-T at the end. Bit of a new domain extension, but it's up there. Indeed, we've got our own. We've got a whole 4 people using the internet in Scotland. And naturally, I've got Colin Young Musician on Facebook as well. So yeah, that's the 2 main places. I do have an Instagram account as well, which is I've got no idea where I came up with this name, but it's Sarky Walrus, which is just S-A-R-K-Y Walrus.
Okay.
We were sitting with not a lot to do in the office one day, trying to think up interesting names for accounts, and that one won it.
Beautiful.
Too much coffee. Yeah, so that's me.
All right, we'll pop your links in the show notes. Colin, it's been awesome to chat with you. Thank you so much for all that you contribute to the community. And I can't wait to see what the next sort of 6 months has in store for you. It's going to be exciting.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for your help and to everybody else in the community. They've been great.
Brilliant. All right, well, have a great night tonight and we'll see you when the challenge starts tomorrow.
Cheers. Thanks, right. Tim.
Thanks, Colin. Hi, everyone. It's Tim here again. Thank you very much for listening to or watching today's episode. I do hope you got something out of it. I put them together to be as relevant and useful to you in your studio and your teaching as possible. So do let me know your feedback. If you've got any questions, comments, critique, whatever it is, you can email me at admin@timtopham.com. Now, before we go, I did want to mention a few little reminders. Firstly, if you're looking for transcripts of every episode from episode 50 onwards are available at the show notes page. And you can either view the transcript on screen or you can download a PDF that you can use to research and refer to. To find the show notes of any episode of Tim Topham TV, just type in timtopham.com/episode and then the number. So, e.g., timtopham.com/episode20. Now, as you may have heard, I am offering currently you guys, my loyal podcast listeners, some of the most dedicated teachers I know, a $100 discount off annual membership of my Inner Circle. The code you need to access that is TTTVpodcast, all one word, and the place you're going to find out more about what you get for membership, the benefits, hear some testimonials of current members, the place you go is timtopham.com/community. Finally, if you have a suggestion for a guest, I would always love to hear about it. A lot of you guys have some fantastic connections. So if you're thinking of anyone that would be really cool to interview, please email me admin@timtopham.com. We'll get to me and I look forward to hearing from you and we'll see you in the next episode.
If the idea of a piano teacher's community where you get to access the best educational resources, rub shoulders with expert teachers from around the world, and have immediate access to feedback for any of your questions, then Inner Circle membership is for you. The Inner Circle is my private community of piano teachers from across the globe who share a commitment to creating and delivering the most inspiring, modern, and progressive learning experiences for their students. Membership is now open, so head to timtopham.com/community to find out more and get involved today. I can't wait to see you on the inside.